you know that repentance unto the Lord can save your life? Remorse can kill you. Good example of remorse in the Bible, Judas Iscariot. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege to come to your house and worship you and praise you and thank you for who you are. And I know there is so much more to thank you for that is yet to come. Father, the word repent, Jesus used it. Jesus said it. Jesus said it is an absolute must. Then there is remorse. I wonder how many people in the church today, they are full of remorse. They are truly sorry for their sin. Mostly sorry they got caught. And they wonder why they're full of sorrow and grief. They wonder why they have thoughts of suicide. I pray that you will separate the two as only you can, repentance or remorse. Because Satan is good at working with remorse. He will make you think, if you allow him to, that you cannot be forgiven. What you have done is really bad. So that guilt is carried around for a long time until something happens that has happened to a lot of people in a lot of families. And the church itself is not exempt from it. There is way too much suicide. In fact, there shouldn't be any suicides. But the mind game that Satan plays, he is very good. He's very deceptive. He has a big bag of tricks. He doesn't want you to repent unto the Lord. He doesn't want you to change your thinking or change your behavior. Because that would lead you to walking away from Him and remorse. So give us the understanding that is needed here. That we may help someone who is considering taking their own life. Suicide. Permanent solution to a temporary problem. Satan is so deceptive, he makes us think that our problem will not go away, will only get worse, and taking one's own life is the only way. That's not what Jesus says. So I pray today, and I know Satan will fight this, that you will give us the biblical understanding we need of true biblical repentance. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Terry, are you camping out here? Some may say, but I'll stay with it as long as the Lord wants me to stay with it. I have tried to leave it myself. I thought it was time, but I am reminded so quickly by the Holy Spirit, it is not time to walk away from Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. I do realize that there are a lot of people in the church today that have lost someone through suicide. Suicide is very difficult for the ones that are left behind. They will ask a million questions and very seldom come up with one answer. As I had mentioned in my prayer, Satan is very good at what he does. I want you to understand that Satan has game film on us since the beginning of time. He knows how human beings think. He knows how they will react to almost everything. He knows how to keep you away from repentance and lock you in the closet of remorse. So I want us to talk about this for just a little bit. I hope you have something to write with. I hope the information that you have and will receive that you do not have on the printout will help you, if need be, when someone comes to you and is full of remorse and they're thinking about taking their life, you will know exactly how to approach them and how to talk to them and how to lead them to repentance, to step out of the closet of remorse. I do not have a title on the printout, but the title I would give is The Danger of Remorse. The Danger of Remorse. Some people ask the question, how lethal is remorse? It is deadly. Verse 5. So remember the heights from which you have fallen and repent. You might want to underline that word repent just for emphasis and a reminder. You'll notice in parentheses, repent means change your inner self. And I want to remind you, you yourself, even as a Christian, cannot do this by yourself. It is going to take Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, be motivated, be influenced by the Holy Spirit of God. Repent. Change your inner self, your old way of thinking, your sinful behavior. Seek God's will. And the will of God is simply the Word of God. And do the works you did at first when you first knew me, Jesus Christ, your Lord Savior. Otherwise, I, your Savior and your Judge, will visit you and remove your lampstand, the church, its impact, its light, from its place unless you repent. The more I read this, the more I realize the importance of the word repent. Jesus greatly emphasizes that word, so it tells me it is of the utmost spiritual importance. Let's begin with a question. Is there a difference between repentance and remorse? The answer is yes, and you must know the difference. The word remorse, as you see it in the Greek language, is metamelomeia. This word expresses the emotions of sorrow, of mourning, or grief. Question number 2. Who in the Bible is a good example of remorse? It is Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 27, verses 3 through 5. When Judas Iscariot, his betrayer, underline the word betrayer. The word betrayer in the Greek language means to hand over with a deep personal concern or involvement. So Judas Iscariot was deeply concerned and deeply involved in what was taking place. When Judas, his betrayer, saw, the word saw, if you'll underline that word in the Greek language, means horao, horao. And it means that Judas saw not only with his physical eyes, but he saw beyond the physical into the spiritual realm. It means to see with the mind, to spiritually see. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was gripped. Underline the word gripped, and here's what it means in the Greek language. The word gripped means he experienced a change of concern. Great turmoil was taking place in the mind of Judas. Secondly, here is a self-produced regret. Here is a self-produced regret. And thirdly, this kind of regret is lethal. I have something I wrote down this morning that you do not have. I want you to listen. Judas regretted the consequences of his sin, not the sin itself. This regret, this remorse, is distinct from truly repenting. Repent is metaneo, which means having a true change of mind that leads to a true change of behavior. Number two, depression is ultimately selfish, like its own form of regret that goes with it. Number three, Judas' deeply emotional remorse was not true repentance, and therefore he failed to get past himself, his own feelings. I'm going to stop right there. Have you ever talked to someone who was becoming suicidal? What is one thing that you learn? They just are not getting past themselves. They are not getting past the feelings that are going on within them at that moment. So Judas' deeply emotional remorse was not true repentance, and therefore he failed to get past himself, his own feelings, and hence did not restore him back to the Lord. Judas merely regretted the consequences of his sin, which brought overwhelming regret that drove him to suicide. Regret fosters depression and focuses on emotional pain, generating more preoccupation with self. Number four, conviction produced by the Holy Spirit, however, which is repentance, focuses upon the Lord, knowing and pleasing Him more and more. Number five, Satan's oldest trick in the book is to woo people into being pain junkies. In other words, preoccupied with their own emotional pain. This never substitutes for God's work of conviction. Pain mongering feeds on unforgiveness and fosters more bitterness. Number six, over grieving separates us from the Lord and the people He has placed in our lives. Over grieving, grieving too long, grieving too hard, always misses God's mark and easily sinks into sinful remorse, which is also regret. Now let's go back to the printout, Matthew chapter 27, 3 through 5 again. When Judas, his betrayer, saw physically and spiritually that Jesus was condemned, he was gripped with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They replied. I want you to underline the two words, "they replied." We're going to go back beyond those two words. Not only did they reply, but they were told what to say by Satan himself. They think they are speaking their own thoughts, their own mind, but they are speaking the mind of Satan. They replied, "What is it that to us? What is that to us?" Doesn't that sound like Satan? He's helped you get into sin, and now he says, "I'm out of here. What is it to me, you fool? You listened to what I said. You believed what I had to say in a particular situation. You stepped into it. I led you into it. I did not make you step into it. But because you are in where I want you to be, I am out of here. For you really are nothing to me." Read that. They replied, "What is that to us? See to that yourself. You're on your own." That's Satan. He leads you astray. He leads you into sin. And then he turns and says with a smile, with laughter, with hell on his breath, he says, "Now I'm out of here.
of here. I'm gone. You're on your own, and I don't give a damn about you.
I wrote a little note, very similar. It says, Satan will help you into sin, but he will not help you get out of sin. Judas Iscariot, by remorse, said, I'm staying in sin. Jesus would have said, oh, Judas, there was repentance. I would have changed your thinking, changed your behavior, changed your mind. You could have come back to me, but you chose Satan's way. He put you in remorse and then he left you no help. That's why I like repent. You have the help of God, like the prodigal son. Get out of that pig pen. Come back to the Father. He'll run out of the house with his arms wide open to embrace you and give you the very best and not browbeat you, but will love you and love you and love you. Remorse will kill you. What is that to us? That's what religion does. I'm talking about some religious people. Religious people will leave you hanging. True people of God will stay with you. So will the living God. What is that to us? See to that yourself. In throwing the pieces of silver, turn to Exodus chapter 21. 30 pieces of silver. Exodus 21 verse 32. Exodus 31, 32. Exodus 21, I'm sorry. Exodus 21, 32. Here's what it reads. If the ox gores a male or a female servant, the owner shall give it to the master, what? The servant's master, what? 30 shekels of silver. Now get this last statement. The purchase price for a slave. Christ was betrayed for the price of a slave. Stop there for a moment. Let's ask ourselves the question, what am I betraying Christ for? The price of what? You say, oh, Judas, you betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Don't be too hard on Judas. For we can still ask the same question. You have betrayed Christ for what? You'll have to fill in that blank for yourself. They replied, what is that to us? See to that yourself. And throwing the pieces of silver, 30 pieces of silver. Now we know why 30 pieces. Exodus 21:32 tells us, into the temple sanctuary he left and went away and hanged himself. The King James Version has repented himself. I want you to know that is absolutely wrong. Repented himself. Question number 3. Does a person who repents go out and hang himself afterwards? The answer is no. Why? He has repented. He's back in grace. He's under forgiveness. He knows there's a restored fellowship between him and the Lord Jesus Christ, his precious Lord and Savior. Why would I want to go out and hang myself when remorse has been taken away? Feelings of sorrow and grief and guilt are gone. I have been forgiven and I rejoice. I'm not going to the hanging tree because I've been to the cross. So what really happened in this passage of Scripture? The answer lies in verse 3. The word repented is not the word metaneo or repent. In some of your versions, it is the word remorse, as it should be. This word in verse 3 is the Greek word metameloma, which portrays a person. You see the difference in the Greek spelling between remorse and repent? Which portrays a person who is completely overwhelmed with emotions. The word, which is remorse, will make it easy, rarely depicts someone moved to change, but rather refers to a person who is seized with remorse, guilt, or regret. Judas Iscariot, after betraying Jesus to his enemies, rather than turning to God and deeply repenting from his sin, Judas, filled with remorse and guilt, ran away and hung himself. Don't turn to page 2. Underline two words, hung himself. I want to ask you a question. What sealed the lostness of Judas? A lack of true repentance. What sealed the lostness of Judas? A lack of true repentance, page 2. Do you realize now that when Jesus used that word repent in verse 5, he wasn't kidding, was he? He said, if you'll repent, we'll make things right again. But if you do not repent, and you can be full of remorse and say, isn't being sorry going to get it? And he says, no. Isn't being full of grief going to get it? No! How many people, once again, are in church today full of remorse and wonder why they're feeling like hell? And you wonder why things are not changing in your life. Surely I can be so sorrowful and so full of grief, God has got to forgive me and take care of it. God said, repent! Not remorse, it's repent. And good old Baptist, you got to grab the meaning of repentance unto the Lord. That's where your forgiveness comes from. That's where your release from that old way of thinking and old way of behavior comes from. Top of page 2, remorse. Number 1, can depict remorse that grips a person because of an act he committed that he knows is wrong. If he were willing to repent, he could change and be forgiven. What is Satan going to tell you? He's going to tell you just the direct opposite of what Jesus says can happen. And you've got to get used to that. You've got to know the real meaning before you can identify the false meaning. Amen. If he were willing to repent, he could change and be forgiven. But because he has no plans to repent or stop his sinful activities, he is therefore gripped with remorse. It's like a young lady or a young man and they're having difficulty. Difficulty in life, difficulty in a marriage, and they wonder why things are just not changing as they should. Listen to me. Then change! You got to change! Quit carrying around a baggage full of remorse. Get that frown off your face and put a smile on your face. That's what Jesus does. That is repentance. What has been such a burden is now lifted off of me. And what? Now I'm what? I'm different. I've changed. I don't like to be around people that walk around with a frown on their face all the time. That's why I hang around with Harold. Number 2. Remorse can also express the guilt a person feels because he knows that he has done wrong, that he will continue to do wrong, and that he has no plans to change his course of action. He feels shameful about what he is doing, but continues to do it anyway, which results in a state of ongoing guilt. This guilt produces no change in a person's life or behavior. There's one word I've learned after watching TV about politics. You've heard the word change. Here's the second one. Get over it! Get over it! Well, I can't. No, it's not that you can't. Most of the time, you don't want to. There are times you really don't know how. I understand that. But there's times you don't want to. Well, I can tell you how. Come see me in my office. I can't say it here. Let's go back to number two. This guilt produces no change in a person's life or behavior. Yet genuine repentance, turning away from sin. What do you see in that I just read? Obedience. Obedience. How many of you really want to be obedient enough to make this happen? Yet genuine repentance, turning away from sin and toward God, would eliminate this feeling of guilt completely. Point one. Number one. Remorse will keep a person perpetually bound and unchanged, enslaving him or her in sorrow and engulfing him emotionally. It leaves a person of feeling depressed, hopeless, and unchanged. It focuses more on one's own personal loss than on the pain or loss caused to others or to the heart of God. Repentance is indicated by a decision to change. And guess what? The power of God can bring about the change. But let me add this. Satan will fight you all the way. Question number one. When true repentance happens in a person's heart and mind, what then does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit releases His divine power. Power. Did you know it takes the power of God to bring this about? To empower, the Holy Spirit releases His divine power. Secondly, to empower, that's Ephesians 5:18, to empower that change, and to lead, L-E-A-D. Did you notice lead, not force, not push, not shove? But did you know when you're willing to do what Christ wants you to do, you will follow Him because you love Him and you know how much He loves you. And to lead that person to freedom. Today Jesus is still crying out for the church to repent of worldliness and carnality. As is true in each generation, today we have a choice to harden our hearts and turn a deaf ear to the Holy Spirit, or to allow Him to deal deeply with us and produce true repentance. Notice the word produce. I cannot produce true repentance. I'm not capable of that even as a Christian. Who does the producing? The Holy Spirit. Why? This is God's business. And it takes the power of God to bring about a change in a child of the living God or a human being. Do you understand that? As is true in each generation, today we have a choice. Freedom of volition. Today we have a choice to harden our hearts and turn a deaf ear to the Holy Spirit, or to allow Him to deal deeply with us and produce true repentance in our hearts and soul. Although Christ is always ready to transform His church, no transformation can occur unless we are willing to hear what His Spirit, who is the what? Holy Spirit, who is God, is saying to us. And once we do hear that divine message, we must be willing to respond with humble obedience. God, heal me, for I have come to repent. Now change my mind and change my thinking that my behavior will follow in a changed way. God hates remorse. He loves repentance. Do it His way. There's no need for suicide. A permanent solution to a temporary problem. Can I ask you something? What is it, do you think, that God can't handle that you need to take your life? Nothing. Nothing. So now I hope you know how to help somebody. Because God may send somebody your way. You might want to keep this handy. Get ready. Amen. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for teaching us from your word about true biblical repentance and the damning horror of remorse. Is remorse danger? Yes. Can remorse take a life if you let it? Choose to be obedient unto the Lord. Live your life unto Him, and you truly will be the overcomer that you are to be in Jesus Christ. Amen.